Welcome to the latest United We Stand podcast. This is brought to you from Old Trafford around the Liverpool game at Old Trafford. And this podcast is brought to you by Improve Easy. Improve Easy are helping United fans across the country save money on their energy bills by installing home improvement measures such as free solar panels, free boilers and free insulation. All you need to do is text the word EASY, E-A-S-Y, to 60777 to see if you qualify. There's government funding there and it can help a lot. That's the word EASY, text that, E-A-S-Y, to 60777. Why not give it a go? You might be missing out.
Welcome back to the latest United We Stand podcast. I'm James Young, I'm stood outside Hotel Football, selling the new issue that's on sale now. United are at home to Liverpool today. And the weather is absolutely mad. It's so windy and just started to rain and I'm protecting the mags from getting wet. It's going to be a very interesting game, this one today. I don't have much hope that United are going to repeat what they did the other week, but you never know. I don't know what the team's going to look like because obviously got a lot of defenders out, a lot of injuries. Liverpool looking to basically try and win the title and push forward in that regard. So United could put a massive dent in those title hopes today. But it's not going to be easy. Liverpool are going to be up for it, obviously, after the other week. So we'll see how it goes. But it's definitely going to be an interesting one. It always is when United play Liverpool. There's always stuff that you don't expect to take place. So we'll see what happens. It's half time, United are 1-0 down to Liverpool. Kind of expected really, with Dave, who I've just bumped into in the Stretford End Lower Concourse. What did you make of that?
Well, it's just really, really disappointing. Frustrating, started off so well, and then head's gone down, and it feels like no one wants the ball. Everyone's shying away from taking responsibility, and then that's where the silly mistakes creep in. But half time, got to be optimistic. Second half, come up, ball guns blazing. Even Marcus got in a couple of tackles, so got to be optimistic, haven't you?
It's the same mistakes, though, isn't it, every time? Like even Onana's passing's been all over the place again today. And it's just like, it's not good enough, you know. I hope it improves in the second half, but it's just the same mistakes every week.
Same mistakes, no plan B. Really basic errors, isn't it? Yeah. No one seems to want the ball, no one seems to be clueless. I mean, I don't want to give Liverpool any compliments, but you know they're going to create a chance within, you know, 20 seconds winning the ball, whereas, you know, our players, they don't seem drilled, they don't know what the next pass is, they don't know what to make space for the next person. Yeah. But half time, yeah. We've been here before.
Yeah. Neil, transmission Raya, what did you make of that?
Started really well. Thought we'd scored at the beginning, and then a bit worried once they scored. They had a few chances after that. Salah missed, looked like Salah missed a really great chance. We're in the Stretford End, so it's quite comfortable happening. I don't know, the players seemed to lose a bit of heart last 10-15 minutes of the first half, but when they went off, did you see when they went off down the tunnel in the corner?
It was split, so you had a few sort of fans booing them. And then, like, the TRA were all clapping.
I just saw they were really getting. So I'm hoping that they've. The player. One thing that I've definitely seen today and Thursday, the players are playing for the manager. They're doing what he wants, and they're giving a lot. There's a lot of effort there today as well. I don't know. They seem to lose a bit of.
They do care, but I just don't think they're good enough in certain areas. And it's not their fault that they've got, you know, like Kamwala, for example, coming today. It's a big ask for them to play in that position.
Wan-Bissaka's gone left back again, exactly. Gallows swapped to right back, and it can't help all this changing all the time. But yeah, I don't know. I think Anthony will come in because he's been playing well, and but I don't know. I think there's something in this game. Big one's Coventry, so.
Yeah. Well, that's the season, really, because.
It's not about the first team, it's about the under-18s. Got to be careful how you phrase that.
But, like, even today, before kickoff, everyone was singing "We're St Ives, Reds on the way to Wembley." It's almost as everyone's just giving up on the league.
It's given us something to go for in the season now. But I mean, we can potentially play until the last kick of the season, the FA Cup final, which we didn't expect to have necessarily. And otherwise, what would we have? We'd just be playing for this
I think it's different when Solskjaer and Mourinho basically got sacked after their Liverpool games, because I think the fans are just about still behind St Hagen. It's not quite got the same confidence as he did sort of last year.
I can't tell with the fans behind him. I can't tell today. I was just saying to Dave a moment ago, I'm kind of on the brink of it's either going to be brilliant. When we played Wolves away, we were absolutely phenomenal that first half. Should have been 5-0 up. And that's when I'm thinking, actually, he knows what he's doing. They never looked like scoring. There was no breakaway stuff that we've seen a lot of recently. We look brilliant on and off the ball. So I'm thinking, it's either very, very close to being amazing, or it's never going to work. And I don't know which one it is.
But it's the same problems again, like the gap in the field again.
Exactly.
Obvious, you know, Salah in so much space from their corners. It's the same thing.
When we played that Wolves game and when we played Liverpool in the first half of the Cup game, that wasn't really a thing. So it's kind of, it's either very close to being great with the ball and without the ball as well, stopping that, or it's always going to be a problem that they just break away and score. And I don't know where I am with it, but where I am with Ten Hag, I suppose, is I can't see any managers that I actually want to come in.
It's not an obvious person, is it?
The one I wanted most out of that I've looked on the list was Ruud van Nistelrooy at 80-1, and that was entirely for sentimental reasons. Yeah. And so I'll get behind him.
I agree. Yeah.
Another Dutch manager? Yes, for Ruud van Nistelrooy.
The United stands on sale today. What have you written this month?
I've interviewed the lad. He's in Stretford End called Mick Gallagher. Read that. He's a really nice lad, and he's a brilliant singer, brilliant songwriter, and he's in it. I don't think he's upstairs though, because I was trying to meet him at some point, but yeah, that's in there. There's also on a more sort of somber note, there's a piece about Andy Martin, who used to win the Star and Garter, which I think you performed at the Star and Garter.
No, I've not performed there. I've been there a lot though, to see loads of bands there, but yeah, been frequented it several times.
So you know about it.
I know it well, yeah.
You'll know it. I imagine a lot of readers and listeners know about the place, but it's really sad news. But we tried to put something in, Merce written a few words about it, and Andy Martin, as Merce would probably hate the fact that it's in there. But at the same time, we had to do something.
Well, I was there the day he died, so there was a band that were on. And
Easter.
Yeah, so Easter were playing, and it was one of the most solemn gigs I've been to, because it was like the landlords literally died hours before, and they went ahead with the gig, to be fair to them.
But
really, really tough, because all the people that were there have known him for years and everything. And
I'm happy to say this on the podcast. People talk about certain people that have shaped Manchester music, or really important. Andy Martin and the Star and Garter are kind of a lot smaller in terms of their scale of how many people knew them, or what they, or how busy it was, and those kind of things. But the importance culturally to Manchester was just as much as everything to do with Hacienda, Factory Records, and all those other wonderful things. He was definitely, and the Star and Garter definitely played that crucial role to the same degree, but maybe not as many people aware of it.
It's a really good tribute in the mill as well. I'm not sure whether you've read that.
I've read that one as well. I've read a few things, and they've done a crowdfunder for his funeral, and he's made way more money than anyone expected, which just shows how much that he was important. And he's a big United fan as well. He would have hated this first half.
So it's three minutes into the second half. United are still getting beat by Liverpool. Just explain to the listeners who you are.
Mark, Stretford End.
Right.
Had a long week following United.
Right.
Brentford away, Chelsea away. We're now here. I did say before the cup game that I thought we would, beat Liverpool in the cup. I wasn't very optimistic about this, really, but it's what it is, isn't it? We're still here.
What time did you get back after Chelsea?
I think I got in bed about 4:15 in the morning. Brentford was 4 a.m. And now we're here.
It must have been so frustrating, that Chelsea game, because that must have looked really good at like...
Yeah, honestly.
6 minutes left, Liverpool have just scored a penalty. Fuck's sake. Right, it's 90 minutes. I don't know what the full time score is because I've had to run outside to sell fanzines. So, if United score in the last minute, I won't get to see it. If Liverpool do, I won't get to see that either. But this is the sacrifice of a fanzine seller. Right, full time. Have found out the score. Did finish 2-2 after leaving 3 minutes before the end. With all the sellers after the game, I'll come to you, John, first. What do you make of that?
I'm just wondering, why have you got a black eye, James? What are you doing? Are we allowed to
sing that? No, we can't.
Just go straight into the football.
I went out last night and just I was at a gig, so I was in the mosh pit, and just happens, doesn't it?
Fair play. Yeah. He rain damaged too many families.
Yeah. I believe you as well. Yeah. Anthony ruling with an iron fist. I wonder why we're doing well today. Back to the football. It was kind of predicted. We sort of said that when we seen the lineups, we said today we're going to have to score some goals to get a result there today. It was chaotic at times, we were awful at times, we were brilliant at others, and I think just sums up current Manchester United. There's a big gaping hole in midfield, but we've still got a team capable of producing moments that win football matches or certainly score goals, and we've also got idiots that are capable of giving goals away. I don't think we were great. You take the draw, don't you? But you almost feel a little bit disappointed we've not got the win. But it's a difficult one because obviously you're playing against a top class team, and we did have them on the ropes for a little while, but I think we were quite fortunate to still be in the game when we did equalise.
Yeah, but there are still, even though United aren't playing great this season, there are still moments of fun supporting them. Like when that Mania goal went in, it was great. The atmosphere was great for 15 minutes, and then
it is, but it's almost a little bit small time as well that we've got to that stage where, you know, you are celebrating, perhaps overly celebrating goals like that. But I just think we're still years and years on, and we're still at our best counter-attacking. You know, an extra 400 million worth of players and we're still best counter-attacking. We're no better than we was in the previous manager or the one before that. Like I said, players capable of producing moments, but I think while you've got Fernandes, Rashford, Garnacho all playing in the team, I think you're going to struggle to ever have any control over a game of football.
That's why, with regards to the manager, I just think that I'm not entirely sure how anyone can have such a firm opinion. Like, either way, you know, you can't say that he's the man for the job, I don't think, because I've watched, you know, our midfield be passed through so easily once again. You know, he's never done anything but persevere with that strange sort of...
We didn't get back into the game because of him today, did we? He didn't change anything.
But on the other hand, you know, what I think I read 24th different back four today in this season. And, you know, it is unprecedented what he's dealing with in terms of injuries. You know, then you get the people that say, well, that's his fault. You know, that's debatable as well, because none of us know what happens in terms of training and how hard he pushes them. But at the same time, I just don't think we can be all like saying the manager needs to go immediately. On the same stretch, I don't think we can say Erik ten Hag's the man for Manchester United, because it was just chaotic.
You've just literally took the words out of my mouth, and everyone's kind of... It's weird, because everyone agrees with me.
Feel like you're missing out, because it seems everyone else is either starting a side hustle or becoming their own boss. And you know what they're hearing a lot? Cha-ching, it's the sound of another sale on Shopify, the all-in-one commerce platform to start, run and grow your business. Shopify is the commerce platform revolutionising millions of businesses worldwide. Whether you're selling, well, just about anything, football programmes to trainers, Shopify simplifies selling online and in person so that you can successfully grow your business. Covering all your sales channels from a shopfront-ready POS system to its all-in-one e-commerce platform, Shopify even gets you selling across social media marketplaces like Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. Full of industry-leading tools ready to ignite your growth, Shopify gives you complete control over your business and your brand without learning new skills in designing or coding. And thanks to the award-winning help and with an extensive business course library, Shopify is ready to support your success every step of the way. What's lovely about Shopify is that no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify will be there to empower you with the confidence and control to take your business to the next level. It's time to get serious about selling and get Shopify today. This is a possibility powered by Shopify. Sign up for a £1 per month trial period at shopify.co.uk/United, all in lowercase. go to shopify.co.uk/United to take your business to the next level today. shopify.co.uk/United.
And said, do you want him sacked? I said, I don't want him sacked, but I don't think he'll turn it around either. Yeah. So, you know, it doesn't make sense, but yeah, I don't know.
Would you be surprised if he was the manager come the start of next season?
I think it all depends on the obviously whether we win the FA. If you beat City in the FA Cup final, you can't sack him, for my opinion.
I think a lot behind the scenes has got to happen first, hasn't it, in terms of who's coming in behind the scenes, you know, director of football, all these other titles where, you know, which you know, top clubs have in place. And I don't think until they get in, now whether that gives Ten Hag another season. Has he got a season left in his contract?
I think so. I think most of it's the names being mentioned as well when people start talking
Southgate
about and Potter and Southgate.
Yeah, like, exactly.
You know, I'd rather give it to Steve McLaren.
That's the worry. So, yeah, would be interesting. It could be a Van Gaal situation again where, you know, hopefully we win the FA Cup and he could be sacked before we leave the stadium. But going back to today's game, like you just said, Ant, yeah, 24 combinations or whatever of the back four, that's not going to do well in any league, in any country. And it tells its own story why, obviously, even Onana, you know, again, you've almost got to give him a free hit this season because, you know, he's done well in games and he's pulled a worldie today, to be fair, first half, and it was 1-0.
If you've got such a chaotic back two, you might as well have stuck with De Gea rather than bringing a new goalkeeper and shatter his confidence. But then, people like Custard Miro in the middle today doesn't help, does he? You know, wobbling around the pitch and still being left on the pitch, which is disgraceful.
I dread to think how many times we've given the ball away today. I'm actually cringing looking at the stats, but the amount of times, not just Casemiro, as a team we gave the ball away and it was just that last 15-20 minutes was just wave after wave. And again, I don't know the final stats, but I'm pretty sure we've probably conceded again 30 shots or block shots, whatever you want, these stats are the same every week, aren't they, for the reasons that there's a space in midfield where you can get an A380 now, pretty much.
That's why we've got a praise of Maguire and Campbell today. The amount of times they broke with numbers. Yeah. You know, when I'm thinking, well, they've not actually beat Mainu or Fernandes, but they're just bypassed. Yeah. You know, I think like there was a moment in the first half as well when I'm watching, and you know, in that regard, they're like not even getting goal sides. We're doing it on purpose. It's a tactic to keep Mainu and Fernandes ahead of the ball, and I just can't really understand why he's never gone back to last season.
You've not got Kante or even Roy Keane. You've got a player who's clearly unfit, clearly struggling a little bit with the pace of the game for whatever reason, and it's been the same every week, and he just doesn't seem to be able to find that combination. He's almost gone to the point now where he's going, you know what, you are going to get chances and I'm just going to rely on you lot to be able to get us out of jail.
We let Fred go too early, didn't we? And he's not the, obviously a lot of people don't think he's the answer, but having Fred would have enabled him to go back to what we knew last season rather than this kind of chaos ball that we're playing.
What would it be with the manager most today again? And you see it every week. You don't. I'm not saying you have to make substitutions, but you don't see any tactical tweaks where he says, you don't fill inside and pack the midfield for 5 minutes while we're overrun. It's just like, lets it play out. And we got, look, let's face it, Liverpool could have easily, if they were more clinical, could have been 3-0 by the time the game's dead and buried.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's more by luck, by judgment, that we were still in the game. And then obviously why you have got players like we've got, you're going to create chances.
And that's the positive in it, because we have. I mean, if you look at Garnacho now, he's going to be a handful for anyone in here over the next 10 years. Like, he has a few quiet games. I think I can only remember the Manchester derby and Fulham home, you know, in terms of this run that he's having starting.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just think in that regard, we've got a lot to look forward to in that.
But
sense,
even that's interesting, because obviously he starts on the right today because Rashford plays. So Rashford plays on the left. Obviously, once Rashford goes off, Anthony comes on. He goes back to the position where he's come through the ranks on the left. And I think he is equally capable of playing on both the left and the right. He's good with two feet, isn't he? But again, it's.
Well, I think that just sums us up. We're unbalanced.
We're moving players around to suit up. You know,
we're heavy in certain positions and very light in others.
The contentious one, obviously, was Rashford starting today. You know, everyone was like, you know, will he start? Won't he start? But you know, again, maybe. I heard Anthony. Anthony was brilliant, to be fair, against Chelsea, wasn't he?
Yeah.
So what does that tell you? As you know, Anthony was bought. It was a Ten Hag player, wasn't he? He was bought by Ten Hag, and obviously we're thinking, well, is he going to get a chance now against Liverpool, because he's earned that chance, and next minute he's on the bench. And he came on, and again he gave it his all. He was, you know, getting stuck in and being very positive.
We're playing a team that are better than us right now, though. Yeah. Better coach, a more established team. You've got, you know, you've got, they're a good side. You were wasteful, and think to be able to play them twice in a few weeks and win, which was more, you'd argue, was the more important one we've won.
Yeah.
And we've also took 2 points off them today. I think you'd have took that at the start of the
definitely,
week.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's another game, though, where United have conceded relatively late on after having the lead. And I think this is the concern I've got with Ten Hag now. You know, it's consistent things like this that keep happening, whereby if it was a one-off, you'd go, all right, conceded a penalty, you know, these things happen. But late equaliser against Brentford, late goal against Chelsea, and the same thing again today.
I have to say one thing that does drive me mad on that score is taking Ollie's pace off, like today.
Well, he took Garnacho off, didn't he?
And it's different with Anthony. He kept Anthony on, who had pace, but he's always on his wrong foot. When you keep pace on and you're passing forward quick, you want players on the correct foot as
if
well.
If you're going to set them players off, you need controlling players off and keep the ball.
Yeah,
a bit
Anthony's
better,
always going to cut back if he gets a break anyway. So for me, you know, he should be sort of like split the wingers as forwards, like Rashford and Garnacho on, you know, up front, or you know, Highland if he needs to. But yeah, I just don't like how he takes so much pace off, because Liverpool were frightened to death of that.
Well, it's not worked, has it? Again, he's done it. He's put Amrabat on to bolster the midfield supposedly, and we've still conceded, you know, give away a penalty.
It boils down to the fact we still can't control the game of football, though, even when you're ahead or anything else. You know, you wouldn't have gone to Anfield or City or Arsenal today 2-1 down and had all that possession. They did pass you to death, you know, and we're still incapable of being ahead and passing teams to death. So that you know that it should in theory be easier once you're ahead. You know, just keep the ball, but
I always think we've got a chance on the break. We've had some like really good chances. Like today, I read the thing at half time about it being down 0 XG. But United, obviously, they wasted that Fernandes pass through to Garnacho because he could have played it a lot earlier. But then, obviously, there's the headed across box as well. And I just felt like we won the ball in their half to get it forward so much. And how can you go in at half time with? I don't like to get all XG, but like, how can you go in at half time without creating?
Yeah, well,
a
you
real
know, the thing is, though, people will keep saying, "Oh, Højlund doesn't get the service," but there was 3 balls in that game where you'd expect that Ruud van Nistelrooy would have got a hat trick. You know, there was 2 Rashford whipped in, there was that Casemiro header down, and yet the narrative will always be we don't create chances for the striker. Well, on the other end, you've got to say to the striker needs to get in the right position.
I was
to
disappointed
get the
that
well.
He weren't on the end of that Casemiro header, or at least closer.
No, I agree completely.
You know, he's got that's a striker's ball all day, isn't it?
Of course it is. Yeah.
Going back to the penalty, I mean, obviously I'm 80 yards away, so I didn't really see it. I could see him lunging, but I think that's just Wan-Bissaka. Until he starts playing football, he will always think he can win a ball by going to ground.
He was partially to blame for the first goal as well, when he just completely lost a man behind him to flick the ball on, and he just didn't follow.
So again, it's individual errors and mistakes, isn't it? You know, you could argue on Thursday night Delo was unlucky, he slipped, and you know, you could argue whether it was or whether it wasn't. But again, today, that's, you know, cost us. Yeah, we're all standing here. Of course, we would have took a draw. Certainly at half-time when you won 0 down. But it could have been a lot better, couldn't it?
You can't concede more shots in the season other than Sheffield United, who get beat 5-0 at home every week and expect to be successful.
Well,
there's something going wrong there, isn't there?
They'll come here, won't Sheffield United come here in 2 weeks, and they will have 25 attempts on goal.
Do you know what I think that is, though? Like, I genuinely believe that is Casemiro. Like, the amount of cutbacks we concede, like, and then the amount of times when they're running at our centre backs, you know, and we don't actually. I don't think we concede actual loads of clear cut chances.
No, they're edge of the box, aren't they?
Yeah, so I get it. We can't do that because your luck will always run out, you know. City was a perfect example of that. You know, they didn't have incredible chances. I think there was one Haaland before half time, but your luck will always run out eventually when you're allowing that. That
the
shot from like 20.
Tommy at the weekend. Yeah.
Fingers crossed, some Arab team will come in for him and take Varane with him as well.
I mean, Varane. I mean, I don't think when he's played, he's been too bad this season.
No, he's not. But
he's obviously the injury.
It's just the injury thing.
And there was a period between Christmas and sort of like February, March where I thought he actually played really well.
Yeah. I don't disagree with that. I just think that, again, you can't get more than 4 or 5 games out of him.
If you give him £80 million now, though, he'll go and buy a left winger with it. That's what my worry, isn't it, from Ajax?
I just can't understand why
reserves.
Like Casemiro's like fallen off as much as he has, because, I mean, today he's like kicking it everywhere, isn't
he? Everywhere, but where he should be kicking it.
I mean, the one completed pass is that over a kick on the halfway line, which
fell over.
Yeah.
He's still probably rocking like that. You know, like them things outside jobs.
It looked like someone had pulled the steel, didn't it? He just went backwards.
But again, it's another player that United have signed that's past his peak. Did they get one good season out of, and then it's the same thing?
Yeah, you know, and I'm pretty confident that that's not going to carry on.
I don't think he will. I think he's a bit more savvy.
And I mean, some of the things he said. You know, he specifically mentioned Jim Ratcliffe, dumb transfer business, didn't he? And you know, he will never mention like an actual player that's currently at the club.
Casemiro was one that's supposed to have been raging about, aren't they? Yeah. Like the most stupid, like buying a 30-year-old on $300,000 a week.
Yeah, you can sort of read between the lines as who he's talking about, definitely. Yeah.
Let's not forget, you know, Arsenal have got Ugard, haven't they, and Rice now, you know, brilliant, and, you know, brilliant too. City have got a brilliant two in the middle. Liverpool, to be honest, they're missing Alexander-Arnold, aren't they? Who I think will probably play in midfield and going forward. Yeah, so again, all these teams, we've got to build the team around Garnacho, around Mainoo, you know, Hoyland to a certain degree maybe, who knows, because you can't really, you know, he's not had enough service all season really to determine whether he is a 25 goal a season man. But, you know, these players we've just talked about, with Casemiro's, Varane's.
How's it going to change though? Because, I mean, even if United sort of sold Casemiro and then got a, you know, like maybe a world-class defensive midfielder, that's not going to close that gap between Fernandes and Mainoo.
Well, that goes back to what I've just said. Yeah, I don't think you can probably get away with Rashford and Garnacho both playing as well. I don't think you can get away with two direct players. You need someone a bit cuter and who knows when to pass it back, when to keep possession, rather than just constantly looking for goal. And that's why we don't tend to be able to dominate games of football, because you've not got that sort of, dare I say, someone like Bernardo Silva who knows to cut inside and play it back sometimes. Just keep the ball. Just not always everything has to be, but that's how wingers play. You know,
and Jocko and Grealish never play together, do they?
No, exactly.
I watched us against Wolves first game of the season though, and Casemiro you could spot the change a mile off. You know, he's a lone centre midfielder, holding centre midfielder, and then he had Mount and Fernandes ahead of him, and that's never worked this season, has it? So I never understand why he's never reverted back to sort of like last season or, you know, at any point. But yeah, it is bizarre how he keeps persisting with this, and there is a gap between, you know, those lines that is so easy to pass through. And again, it was another match where Liverpool completely exploited that 5 or 6 times, you know,
easily.
Yeah. You just don't ever seem to see any tactical tweaks during a match. So whether you're winning, whether you're losing, it just looks like, oh, bring an extra defender, bring an extra forward. Yeah. It's very, very basic stuff. You don't ever see anything. See anything where you think to yourself, yeah, that was clever what you've just done. You know,
Well, Liverpool had a corner against Salah again in loads of space. The same thing against Chelsea, like last week, you know.
We've had it done to us enough times. You know, the Tottenham manager did it during the game when we got on top and he changed him around. I think it was a Brighton game where, and we just overrun us for 20 minutes. You keep seeing opposition managers changing things to exploit our weaknesses, but you never seem to see us make any difference.
Well, that definitely comes from the training ground, whether it's Ten Hag, the set-piece coach. You know, that leaving Salah today on the edge of the box every single time, it isn't just the defenders thinking, oh, we won't mark him. If he gets the ball, we'll try and close him down. That's coming from what they've been listening to this week in the training ground.
It's like they don't even know we were playing until they get to the
and it's the zonal marking, and obviously the goal was at our end, wasn't it? Their goal. And did someone flick it on?
Nunes pulled away from Wan-Bissaka.
So again, that's zonal marking, and he was pretty much unmarked at the back post and smashed it in. So again, you know, you're either a fan of zonal marking or you're not, but it didn't work today. And thankfully, I think it went out to Salah once, and he blazed a couple over, didn't he? You know, but you were thinking, oh, he's going to put one of these in the top corner, because he normally does from that position. But thankfully, he didn't. But unfortunately, he still got his normal goal against us.
Yeah. And what the only, well, I guess, other positive thing from this weekend is that United's 18 beat Liverpool 9-1. Yeah. So I mean, especially today, Campbell Waller and Mainoo have been probably some of United's best players the last few weeks, in terms of the effort and the commitment they're showing. You know, a lot of that's come into question recently, but they've been on it.
We've been talking about this for a couple of years now, that United have really got their act together.
The future's bright, and that says, Nicky Butt deserves a lot of credit for that, from what I've heard. He was the one who sort of put it in place, because it was just a shambles at one point, wasn't it?
Amas.
And we have got the best in the country.
Yeah, he's a left back, isn't he? Did we get him from Watford? I think. I think we got him from Watford, but he's really got a lot of potential.
And let's be honest, if one makes it from that team, you're happy, aren't you? If one makes it into the first team, and you know, two have already made it, but if one more makes it, then you're happy. If one player makes it every couple of years from the academy, from that squad, then it's working, isn't it?
I get a lot of knowledge off my dad off that. He totally watches. he's the younger teams. Yeah.
Hey, who is it we've got next then?
Bournemouth away.
Right. What do you think's going to happen there?
No idea, mate.
David Side of Seaside, isn't it?
But they've kind of
no idea.
They look like the one of the teams you want to play this time of year, don't you? They're safe. They're going nowhere. Yeah, they're already literally on board.
they still managed to beat us 4-1 or whatever it was earlier this season.
Yeah, they battered us.
You just don't know, do you? We've got 5 days, nice rest, I suppose. No midweek game, and you just think you've no idea. But they should be playing for the semi-final places now, shouldn't they?
This one, that game is. We're pretty much mathematically sixth, aren't we? I think we're going to finish that way. You're just hoping that everyone stays fit. You get through that semi-final, and then we can look forward to the final and giving Arsenal 3 points at Old Trafford as well.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Right. Well, it's just started to rain again, so we'll end it there. Thanks to everyone that's listened. If you still got to this point, then good for you.